Good morning, everyone. My name is Todd Coffer, and I want to welcome you to Saturday Morning Tech. It seems like it's been forever since we've done one of these shows.
Yeah, has it been like 3 weeks?
I think it's been more than that. I think it's been a month, but we'll talk about kind of the reasons why for that here in a few minutes. But first off, we have sitting on top tonight to this morning, Jeffrey Powers from geekazine.com. Good morning, Jeffrey. How are you?
I'm doing good. Can you say that again? I want to record that part.
Oh, boy.
Superpowers, Jeffrey.
Okay, yes. You want to record that. Sitting on top, we have Jeffrey Powers from geekazine.com. So, anyway, welcome to the show this morning, Jeffrey. And I'm sure I'm going to be all thumbs. And, of course, on the bottom, we have the notorious and the one only Rob Greenlee. Good morning, Rob. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good, Todd. It's great to be here again.
Yeah. So let's see if I can press the button. There you are in living color. Ooh. Coming in by a whopping 4x3, not 16x9. We'll talk about that. Why? And of course, Jeffrey is too. You know, I'd have to say then, you bunch of cheapskates.
That's right.
I'm just
not willing to invest in the program, obviously, right?
Yeah, that's right. No, what's going on is we found out Skype made a change to their, basically, if you want to use 16x9, you have to pay for a pro plan, huh? And
they took a lot of features, screen sharing, and they just bundled it with their premium, which kind of makes sense. I mean, you get a free, this is all you really need to do one-on-one calls with somebody. So, but if you want to do something a little bit more, it's going to have to cost you.
Yeah, that's that just sucks because you know I put the money in and went 16x9. You got the nice monitors, and I'm like, you guys are only 4x3 this morning. We had some black space around the edge of the so it just blows. Well, it is what it is. And yes. Hey, you know, I do want to announce, though, guys, I've got a sponsor for the show this time, and it's a sponsor well known to both of you, and I want to take you here just a moment and of course thank the sponsor that's going to help pay for the show at least until the end of this quarter. So, you know, with summer here, you know, it's you know, all of us are spending a lot of time working from home or traveling, and you know, it's sometimes the boss wants you to work even when you're on vacation, and so really getting everyone together for, you know, a meeting really can be just an impossible task. And you know, especially me here in Hawaii, you know, my team's back in the lower 48, and the guys that live in the lower 48 sometimes don't understand that, the continental United States. But if you know, don't worry. If we've got GoToMeeting with HG Faces by Citrix available, GoToMeeting lets you host meetings with clients and colleagues face-to-face all while online, no matter really where you're at. And, you know, Jeffrey and I, you and I have been doing some HD GoToMeeting Citrix HG Faces sessions where we get to watch each other, and sometimes you'll see me, you know, yawning or something, and you'll point at me during a meeting. But with HG Faces, you really just need a webcam and to turn your online meeting into a group HD video conference, so attendees can join from any computer, iPad, iPhone, Android, by downloading the free app. That's really the cool part. So as a listener of this show, you can get GoToMeeting with HG Faces free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Then download the app. But you guys, you know what the best part is about this whole thing that's going on with GoToMeeting right now?
Let us know.
You get a chance to win a free iPad. So GoToMeeting is giving away 8 new iPads on Facebook. All you really got to do is go over there and like their GoToMeeting page. Then you can enter to win an iPad. And you can refer a friend to win the iPad. So if they do, you do so as well. Check out, like GoToMeeting on Facebook, and you can end up using it on a new iPad. I hope you win, and don't forget to try GoToMeeting today. You know, one thing about using GoToMeeting with HG Faces, I'm going to show you guys something here. I got to dig my iPad out from underneath the stuff. So, you know, I like going down the beach now and hanging out and relaxing and you know, trying to de-stress a little bit here. So if I have a meeting, I set my iPad up on my steering wheel, and it kept falling off. So what I did is, have you ever seen those steering wheel covers that you buy that So I basically put a steering wheel cover on so I could prop the bottom of the prop the bottom of the iPad into the steering wheel. Works perfect. Got the perfect angle. They can see my face.
It can't be safe.
It's, well, I don't drive, you know. So
oh, okay.
I'm sitting still with the AC. You could see the iPad moving, right? Driving down the road. No, that's not safe. Kids at home, don't do that. But
Tom's new studio in the car, right?
And people ask me, where are you at? And I'm like, I'm in my car at the beach. Little do you know, underneath this, you know, I'm wearing this, a polo shirt or something, there is there's five layers of suntan lotion at the same time. So
whatever works.
It absolutely, whatever works is right. Well, you know, I was looking through the news this past week, and really the thing that popped yesterday was speculation. And I think this is speculation at this point. I sent a contact email off to, or an email off to Apple. I don't know if I'm going to get a response from my guy there, but they're saying, whoops, let me bring this up. See if I can push the right button here. And no, I don't want you. There we go. They're saying that Apple gives podcasts a gentle push out of iTunes. I was like, oh my God, what's this about? So, and of course, this guy, Peter Kafka, knows what he's talking about here when he says that podcasts were supposed to be a big deal several years ago, but that boom never happened. We can talk about that here in a minute. But he says that, so why a podcast disappeared from the new version of iTunes that Apple started showing to developers this week. He says because Apple plans on giving the recordings their own bit of digital turf. So apparently, and the speculation is that they are going to bring iTunes, I don't know if they're going to remove podcasts from iTunes per se, but they're going to supposedly, quote unquote, have their own iOS app where it'll have its own dedicated place right on the front screen of your iPhone, which, you know, I'm looking at the iPhone itself, and if you look at your front page, let's see, what have you got there? Do you have room for another icon? Camera, contact, stocks, weather, settings, clock, notes, maps. I don't know. There's maybe one spot.
It'll probably be a page flip. You know, you'll swipe to the right and you'll have more apps to choose from.
Yeah, they've generally not filled up page two, but there is, if the default load, I think, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Rob, what do you think?
Well, I think this is actually really interesting because this is the first time in a couple of years that there's been any kind of story around podcasting that's popped and created so much discussion and speculation. And it makes sense. I mean, the iTunes platform is the gorilla in the room, as they say, when it comes to podcasts. So I think this is just all part of kind of the amplification of content and services. And this is just Apple creating separate apps for everything. If you look at what, you know, is going on with Xbox and Windows, you know, with the music and video apps on Windows 8, this is just where things are going. I mean, each service is going to have their own app, and this is exactly, I think, what Apple is doing. If you look at the Apple TV, podcast is a separate app on there.
Yep.
I think that's just a consistent thread that is happening, for podcasting in general. And what I hope will come from this is that it will kind of level the playing field, you know, a little bit more for third-party apps out there that are trying to, come up with some new ideas about how to, show podcasts and how to present them to users. And hopefully this will spark kind of a new age for podcasting and kind of a new growth phase.
Well, you know, and I could come back and say at the same time, maybe it'd be the kick in the butts that a certain company you know about that needs to get their act together and start supporting instead of, pushing away. And of course, who I'm responding to is Microsoft.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, we're looking at Windows 8 and the Windows 8 phone basically having no podcasting support natively. There may be some apps that someone builds, but my speculation at least, and I know you can't say one way or the other.
Well, I can say that the podcast area is going to be, it's going to continue to be a core part of the Windows Phone platform. So it's not, I mean, that's certainly going to be there for Windows 8. So, you know, podcasts at Microsoft, you know, there's been a lot of rumors that have been flying around about it going away, and that's, it's just not the case.
Okay. Well, we will, I guess we'll watch and see. You know, I just hope that, you know, obviously where we all really wanted to be was in the Xbox, but I don't think that's going to happen, at least at this point. So time
you
will tell.
But there's also reports that iTunes U is getting out of iTunes also. So I'm wondering if one or two things is going to happen. First of all, I'm wondering if podcasts are actually going to enter into iTunes U to kind of give it the solidarity of a learning annex type software, or are they just planning to get ready to get rid of iTunes altogether and get out of that walled program to a web-based solution?
Well, Jeff, the iTunes U is already a separate app.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, what we're seeing is that each of the areas, the music, movies, TV, that kind of stuff, could potentially get separate apps, right? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's happening across the industry right now.
Well, I think it's a good thing, what's being rumored here, at least. I don't know. We have to watch, you know, it's just to watch how they implement, you know, the devil's in the details always. And it'll be real telling if my contact Apple doesn't reply. You know, usually that's his indication of, can't respond.
So I think that as you think about this, really the big question is will this app be pre-installed on the iOS platform, or will it just be sitting in the catalog, right, of right. apps that has to be searched for and then installed? And then there is a danger that, if it goes into an app like this, that users could have a harder time finding the content. Yeah. I think that having podcasts included in iTunes has made it easier, I think, in some ways for people to discover podcasts that maybe didn't know that they existed. So I think that there is a danger of moving towards this app model of people discovering, new people finding podcasts.
Well, you know, from seeing on how you can get to a podcast to download it on your iPad or iPhone, anything that does better than what iTunes does has got to be 100% better, because it's really tough for podcasters to navigate through iTunes and download through iTunes. And maybe we'll get features such as continuous play. When one podcast is over, it's going to find the next new podcast and play that. I mean, these are just basic features that should have been in iTunes all along. So if it's on its own app, maybe they'll get all those little cool bells and whistles.
So if this Apple app isn't pre-installed on the iOS platform devices, then it really does kind of level the playing field for apps from third parties to really start to come out and create some new features and functions, just like what you said, to move it forward. There could be a hit in the overall popularity of podcasts for some period of time until there's like the next cool type of platform that shows up that actually offers the kind of functionality and features that people will really latch onto. I mean, like a Stitcher maybe, or that type of a company that could kind of take over the leadership in this area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I have to keep an eye on it and watch. I sure hope that it's not buried. You know, I really do hope that. And if it is buried, then, you know, I don't know what to really think what'll happen from that. I think the numbers will plummet, or there'll be such an outcry that maybe we'll really find out how important the space is or is not. So, hey, let's move back a couple weeks. Rob, you're out in New York. Jeffrey, you're out in New York. I was too for Blog World and New Media Expo, which has been now renamed to a New Media Expo. Website hasn't been updated yet, which I hope they get that done soon. But any thoughts on you know, on how the show went. You know, I guess I'll start with Rob. I know Jeffrey, you do some stuff contractually for Blog World, so you may be limited in what you can say. But Rob, what was your reaction to NMX? It is renamed to.
Well, I think that it was in trying to kind of take that next step forward with trying to more support podcasts, you know, at the event. And I think that there was the quality of speakers I thought was definitely better. And I think that the event is moving towards really kind of supporting podcasters, bloggers, and kind of web TV creators in a more comprehensive way. But the actual event, I mean, it wasn't massively attended. I wouldn't say that there was lots and lots of people there. The podcast room probably held maybe 40, 45 people, something like that. So it wasn't really a big, big thing for podcasts. But I think it also could be kind of the beginning of something more significant as they kind of move into this next phase. But I had a great time back there, and it was great to see everybody and talk to Cliff and all of the other kind of podcast consultants that work in this space that really do a terrific job, I think, in helping new people kind of come into this space and do the right thing and get the tips and tricks that they need to be successful.
You know, I had to laugh. We were once again down at the end in the smallest rooms. And, you know, I thought, gosh, just at least give us one big room. You know, but, I don't know how, you know, if that affected anybody's thought of the show. The attendance numbers to me look to be worse than LA. I don't know if they've come up with official numbers on how many people. If there was 1,000 people there, I'd be, there was more people, believe it or not, on the first day for the business summit, and then people blasted. So I was kind of like, what was the deal with that? They came for the Wednesday event, and then Thursday the show was, there was less people, and I thought, that's odd.
Yeah, it was kind of strange. I mean, I'm not quite sure why it didn't get better attended. I mean, they're surrounded by millions of people there in New York City.
Well, so. I think it's because it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's during work days, and most of these content creators are, again, can't, you know, they have to take off from work, you know, to come to a show. I don't know. Jeff, you know, what was your thoughts on the show?
They had a lot to deal with from LA. And of course, getting people in, going with that, was definitely a big task. And I know that with adding Cliff Ravenscraft to the podcast track, that brought a lot more ease of use, and a lot of old time podcast expo people apparently showed up for this event. Now, I don't know the official numbers on Blog World, what happened, how many people attended. I would guess the last day. I know. And I did this myself. I actually scheduled a meeting outside of the Javits Center with another company that's in New York, simply because of the fact that it's an opportunity to meet with these people one-on-one so you can get some business done. So my guess is that some people went up to the Book Expo. I know I took a trip up to Book Expo and I've got about 8 books for free, or went out and did some regular business, saw the city, and just kind of relaxed a little bit.
Well, and it's I think that the traffic I had, you know, we had a little kiosk there, and the traffic we had was okay. There was.
Did you see yourself on Fox News?
No, was I on Fox News?
They did an O'Reilly report, and they were interviewing a blogger right at the Stitcher booth, and you were in the background.
Oh, that's,
I guess, talking to a couple people.
That's funny. So
Clayton Morris was there, and he actually runs a podcast network in New York City as well. And he was the correspondent that was there doing that same thing. Yeah, because I actually, saw him walk in with his cameraman, and I actually talked to him. So he's a podcaster. Was the guy that actually from Fox News that covered the event.
Oh, that's cool. Well, Anderson Cooper was supposed to be there. He didn't show, and he had blogged that he was coming, and actually asked if there was people that would wanted to meet. And I had, you know, basically, of course, one of 1,000 people that tried to say, "Hey, come see me at such," you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, it. But he didn't. He didn't show. I tweeted to him, said, "Where are you at there, Anderson Cooper? You're not here." So, so it was a, you know, I guess it was a good show. The next dates are January, right before CES, and that's a tough time. I don't know how I'm going to swing, you know, CES and that. That's going to be really, really tough. I'm going to have to really, I don't know. I have to think about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just wonder if it's the January 678 is the name.
Yep.
Yeah, the dates of the next show. How many people are just getting off break, you know, and are going to be back at work? You know, usually January 7th is a go back to work day. You know, that's a day traditionally everyone is back in their cubicles or at their desk. And so if he has it 678, which is Sunday, which would be the business part. And then 7, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how he positions this show.
I think the thing is that, and of course, I don't know if just so all the viewers and listeners know, my role at Blog World, well, now New Media Expo, is I am the podcast editor at large, which means that if you send me a video or audio to be put up on blogworld.com, I'm the one that's going to be it's going to be going through my hands first. So with that said, my stake at Blog World New Media Expo is not that big. I'm sorry, at New Media Expo in January is not going to be that big. So I can actually devote more time to CES, because that was the biggest issue, was the fact, you know, we make money at CES and we've been doing that for years. And I can't substitute one for the other. Yeah. It just doesn't work that way. So, but the thing is, I think on the 7th, they're going to be... That's what they're they want to hit, is get the one day where people can roll in a day early and experience Blog World New Media Expo. And since there's something like thousands more traffic than New York could give, or LA could give for that matter, because they're all there at once. So. Yep.
Well, we will see. I like the name change. I like that they've it's kind of funny. We're back to what we started at, I guess. And that's good. And I noticed I type in newmediaexpo.com and saw that they actually, looks like they own the domain to that. So I didn't know it. Tim had sold that actually name with them, but that actually refers to it right now. It links back to the Blog World Expo website, which is okay. And so let me go ahead here and move to a different topic. Rob, did you you been up in your closet and looked at any old computer parts lately?
I have not. I've got lots of old computers in my cabinets, kind of stored. I haven't ever recycled a computer, so I have them just stacked up in my back room.
I've got a buddy who keeps everything. He doesn't throw nothing out. He lives here in Hawaii, and he has no room as it is now in his closets. And when he heard that there was an Apple One computer that sold at auction for $374,500, wow. He about jumped out of his skin, because he's like, I think I have one of those. Now, what's rare about this? It's a functioning computer. So,
wow.
Yeah. And, but anyway. Only about 200 of the Apple ones were ever created, and the computers were hand-built by Apple's co-founder Steve Wozniak, and originally sold for $666 as a fully assembled circuit board. So, you know, I think he probably doesn't have an Apple One. I would imagine, because at that time he was in Hawaii, and he said, well, maybe they didn't sell them here. So he thinks most of these Apple ones were sold in the Silicon Valley area, initially. So, but this one that they sold actually works. And what's kind of funny is they sold it without a case and does have a handwritten note on it. And so it's kind of funny, yeah. But anyway, the guy that had that payday.
That's payday. That's now, $1.
Now, you know, I want to revisit a story that's been in the news quite a little bit. You know, the mega upload site that got seized by the federal government. The FBI has been ordered. Now, think about this. If you're the IT guy at the FBI, the FBI has been ordered to start copying 150 terabytes of data, including 10 million emails contained on the seized computers belonging to Kim.com for Mega Upload. Now, this was a ruling done by a judge in New Zealand that ordered that the copying process begin. And this entails over 130 computers and hard drives. And of course, the U.S. government is like, we don't want to do this. They gave them 21 days to copy the data. And they said, we don't think we can get it done. They said it's going to take, they copied 29 terabytes in the first 10 days. And just think about the costs that are being involved here in this litigation. And we're not even, you know, we're like pre-trial stuff at this point. We're not even close to, you know, extradition hearings don't happen until August. But can you imagine being the IT guy having to do 150 terabytes of data? Your taxpayer dollars.
It's not that much nowadays.
Well, yeah. It's still, you think about it. Okay, what's your biggest hard drive now? 3 terabytes? About 3 terabytes, yeah?
It's still a lot of data to deal with.
It's still a lot of data to copy over. But
yeah. It'd be like doing Windows 95 on the 164 floppy disks that I used to have. But for somebody that has the right price, you know, hey, you know, that's travel for them. That's a great hourly wage. I don't think they'll mind.
And I guess it's, you know, if you think about it, it's probably only about 100 hard drives if they buy 2 terabyte drives. So that's a lot of data still. It's amazingly amount of lot of data. And, you know, depending on their file structure. And of course, it's all Linux, so it's all, you know, there, you know, there, a lot of this probably, I would imagine, but or scripts or whatever they do to use to copy it, but lots to do there. Well, you know, and part of it is people want their data back, and so far the government's saying no, they're not going to give the data back because we didn't seize the computers, but yet they seized the computers. Now, I've been arguing with folks online here for the past couple of weeks. I keep hearing of content creators using Dropbox as their
hosting?
Yeah, for hosting their media. And you know,
cheapskates.
Oh my gosh. I just, you know, and with Dropbox killing public folders, this is going to make sharing a little bit harder for them. You know, and it just, I don't get it, to be honest with you. It just seems to me like that would be a violation of terms of service with these guys. You know, they're not designed to be a CDN like that.
Yeah, it's not the right use of those type of platforms. And I think that that's actually gonna ultimately cause these Dropbox places to lock them down because they don't want to be involved in redistributing content. That could get them in trouble, you know. I mean, so let's say a person drops up TV shows and movies and stuff like that and starts doing that. That could get in a lot of hot water. Well, so
that's how Mega Upload got in trouble, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Jeffrey, have you heard about guys using this as a hosting platform?
I heard a couple instances. I know that, I think that would actually be good for somebody that's got regular content up in their regular areas and say, hey, you know, if you want this special content, it's $50 a year or whatever, and you're going to be going to this Dropbox to get it. Yeah. Other than that, I think it's, I just don't think it's a good idea. I think downloads will be slow. I think that there'll be a lot of problems. And if you share a Dropbox, usually that means if they can pull it out of your Dropbox, I don't know if you can lock it down, but a lot of times if you pull it from the Dropbox, they can't, it's gone. So.
And I think it's going to cause lots of headaches for connection on links to media, you know, yeah. And all kinds of other weird stuff. You know, you're not getting bitrate serving of media when it's being downloaded. There's a whole, you know, a whole raft of things that go along in serving audio and video correctly. And I just, it makes me, and you know, I hate to say it, it's really cheap, you know, and people are doing that. That's just, you know, spend $10 and you know, and get a hosting solution. If you're, you know, it just doesn't, I don't get it. I really don't. And, but, you know, that seems to be, I'd like to meet the person that's, you know, there's a lot of bad gouge going around. You know, I'd like to meet the person that is giving that type of advice. There's, you know, two or three little things we keep seeing across our help desk that we keep saying, where are you getting this information? Who in their right mind told you to do this way? And it's becoming an epidemic of just two or three little things that people are being told to do. You're just like, oh my God, what are you being told? And if I find out who the culprit is, I'm going to publicly expose and berate them. But it just drives me crazy. It really does. But
yeah, Todd, I also think it's just folks out there just like to hack things and kind of use things in different ways than they were intended. I think that there's a certain amount of kind of geeks out there that just like to do things that you know, with technology that they're really not supposed to do. And it's just kind of a cool thing to do that kind of stuff. I mean, any real serious podcaster isn't ever going to do that.
Well, I think you might be surprised, Rob.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. With some of the things I'm seeing here and of the last week, it just shocks me to the core. Hey, Vizio, you know, Vizio shook up the, really, they're the ones that were the responsible for bringing the price of flat screen TVs down, and they've stepped their game up here, and they have introduced some new computers. Oops, let's bring up the right screen. No need. And the article on Gizmodo has got some images here, but they have come up with a line of what is everyone saying is beautiful laptops, and. It's look to me like they are wanting to shake this market up too. So obviously Windows-based PCs, but side by side against some products with a little Apple on the side looks kind of similar. Of course, I know that Samsung had some nice devices as well that they came out with. But interesting move by the folks here at Vizio. And you know, they're pretty reasonable, $900 to $1,100. And they've got Ivy Bridge CPUs. They've got nice graphics. They got USB 3.0. They go all the way 1920x1080. They're putting in a 32 gig SSD for its boot up and main operating. So not bad. Do you think they're going to be the next Dell?
Yeah, I was really impressed with those things. Yeah, I saw the video from that event, and those are some gorgeous laptops.
It's you know, everyone I guess now is more worried about design than function. I more worry about function than design, and as long as they perform well. But this, I have to admit that the desktop version of that machine is pretty nice. They've really done they really did a nice job on it, and but. Price point is fantastic. So what did you guys think of the Mac announcements earlier in the week? You guys have any comments on the stuff that happened at that event?
It didn't seem very revolutionary. It seemed kind of logical next step for the Power Mac and those type of devices. It's just, you know, it's adding the Retina display, which I think is really cool. I think that's the big direction here in the future, is all about screen resolution and how things look, I think is, it's just another reflection of design is becoming really important to people and how things look. And but it's also about core technology and what's cool. And I really like that high resolution screen. I mean, I think it's terrific. I hope all the laptops, even from Windows 8, start moving that direction as well.
Well, I'm in mourning though.
You are?
Yeah, I am in mourning because they've discontinued. This is not a new one. This is the old one. They've discontinued the 17 inch. So, you know, I like to travel with a big laptop, and people don't understand why, but as much as time as I spend on the road, oh boy, almost dropped it. That'd have been good.
And then you would have needed to get a new one.
Yeah. So, you know, they basically have gotten rid of the 17 inch. And so I'm just, you know, I'm like, I was cussing them out literally for like 3 days. I don't need a new laptop right now, but you know, another year and a half or 2 years, I'm going to need another one. And I'm like, these SOBs, you know, I'm just like, you know, I'm quite upset about it, to be honest with you, because, you know, it's all right. Rob, do you like a bigger screen now, or do you like a smaller screen?
Well, I think that the real issue with that is a 17 inch laptop a mobile device?
Yes, absolutely. I travel all over the world with two 17 inch laptops, not just one, two.
Yeah, but I think you're unusual, I think. I think most people are in the kind of the 13 to 15-inch range.
You sit in a hotel for a week straight looking at a 15-inch laptop. I'm sorry. You come home and you get back in front of your desktop and you're like, da-da! You know, it's just, you know, you're back to, you know, this is not how I like working. Now, I'm going to be dramatic here. Yeah,
On the Windows side, I've actually heard that they're going to start coming out with 16-inch screens. So,
well, they're still selling 17-inch monitors on, or 17-inch laptops on the Windows side.
Do you remember? Yeah. It was about 1998. I remember because we were doing 17-inch CRT monitors, and then 21-inch CRT monitors, and those things were horrible to move around. And then around 1998, 1999, they came out with 20-inch rectangular models. And all of a sudden, everybody wanted that 20-inch rectangular model more than a 21-inch, especially all the CAD people and that. Because instead of having two 21-inch monitors, they'd have one 20-inch monitor, and that made it all the better. So I agree with you. I don't understand how smaller is better when it comes to the screen. But on the other hand, you have this right here, and with a quick app, you can actually turn this into a side monitor that could be just as portable and easy to use.
That's true. Now, you, just as a warning, we had some video freeze there for a second, so I'm hoping we're not running into a connection issue, which we may be. But yeah, I understand what you're saying, but you know. And you can't, I guess I could extend the iPad while I'm traveling. But, you know, I guess you guys, I wanted to show you this this picture here. You know, I don't have an obsession at all with big monitors. You know, I don't. It's not, you know, it's not an issue. You know, you look here, it's, you know, we've got big monitor, a little smaller monitor, huge monitor. And then the 17 inch, you know, I don't like small monitors. You guys can tell I'm, and I kind of like those little 13 inch or 11 inch monitors. Those are, you know, those are the monitors.
How many of those have Retina displays on them?
You know,
that's a good question.
But the problem is, did you see the price of the Retina display?
Yes.
Yeah. They're expensive.
The MacBook Pro, the 15 inch MacBook
I didn't want to have to put my kids up as collateral.
The 15-inch MacBook Pro starts at $21.99, but for somebody like you or me, because I'm all for the dual Thunderbolt. I wanted a dual Thunderbolt since day one. It's got dual Thunderbolt and it's got HDMI out, which would be like heaven for me.
Well, just remember, Blackmagic Design currently does not support two Thunderbolt bolts in use at one time. They're going to fix that, but
yeah.
So you know,
but like, the whole
Go ahead.
The whole point is that that same machine souped up to what I need it to be to do video is going to be $4,000.
Well, you know, let's just do a little exercise here. You know, and let's look at how much one of these things is going to cost. So let's pick a MacBook Pro. All right. We want the one with Retina display, of course, right? And so let me see here. Where do we actually
go down? See, the
I'm
going to
go here and it's like, okay, so we want the 15-inch 2.6 gig because we're going to need the extra horsepower. So I'm going to select that one. Now they're going to take me in. Oh, here's the options. Do we want the 2.7 quad core i7 with turbo? Of course we do.
Of course you do.
And we're going to be processing video, so we want the extra memory, 16 gigs. Now, who can live on 512 gigs of storage right now? So we're going to add, and again, you cannot do this later. If you pick 512, that's what you're stuck with. So if you
want, actually, you can.
The teardowns.
The board is what's called an mSATA board. So there will be companies that will be making third-party hard drives for it. It's okay. Just that if you open it up, you know, you're voiding, you have a chance to void your warranty.
So let's leave the 512 as is. We don't need a smart drive. We don't need a Thunderbolt display. No, we don't. Do we want to backlit? Oh, we got to get Apple Care with this thing. There's no way that you're going to buy this without Apple Care. Do you guys see what the price is? And it just, okay, so we picked the 15-inch with the 2.7 gigahertz, 16 gigs of RAM, no extra storage, no extra monitor, you don't even get a mouse with this thing. And we picked at $35.98.
Gotta own Apple stock, that's all you can say.
$35.98. Now, a comparable 17-inch. Let's say 15-inch, you know, Windows PC, you're not even going to get maybe half that price.
Yeah, maybe around 2,000 probably.
Now, you're not going to have the Retina display. So, you know, let's be fair. Let's back out and let's select one without the Retina display. So let's pick the 15-inch 2.6 gig without Retina display. Okay, so well, there's a big price difference here, guys. Huge price difference. Let's see here. Let's put the same specs in. 512 gig solid state drive. You're going to get the anti-glare, Apple Care. It's more money. The big price difference is putting in the solid state drive. So if you just go to the 750 gig, 7200 drive, it's $29.48, but if you go to that 512 gig solid state drive, it's $37.98. So they want you. The way they price this bad boy, they price this thing to, you know, when you do the options, people are going to buy the Retina display. You know, they optioned it such that people are going to do that. Let's see the cheapest way you can go. The cheapest one you can get is $1,500, no extra memory. 500 gig drive at 5,400 RPM. No, just a standard display, nothing with anti-glare, no Apple Care, $1,800. So, well, your operating system upgrades only kind of cost $20. So I guess that's a plus, you know, but.
Discount. Hey, guys, I want to change the subject a little bit. What do you guys think of a larger slate or tablet screen? As we're talking about these larger devices, you think about the direction that computing is going, right? It's going more towards, you know, these thin slates that have high powered processors in them, right? And Retina displays. But think about what's the upper limit of how big that you would use or need, right? I mean, I'm thinking that it would be really interesting to have like a 15-inch slate that I could use as possibly my desktop as well as my slate.
This fits in my wife's purse.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, I mean, That's probably great, but as your main computer, right? If you were to just get one computer, how big would that screen need to be for it to satisfy all your needs?
Oh, if it was something that wasn't, that I didn't take with me.
Well, I mean, you could take with you, but maybe it just stayed at home.
For 90% of the time staying at home, I wouldn't mind having a large one. I mean, but then again, why wouldn't I just buy a PC with touchscreen capability?
So here's the question, Rob. They're making an announcement on the 18th. Are you telling us something here? Are we getting a scoop?
No, there's no scoop here.
Okay.
It's just pure speculation as I think about my own. I mean, what I would like to have looking forward into the future is just have one large slate that I can leave on my desk that plugs into, you know, to everything. I don't have a desktop anymore. It's just a larger slate, right? That I could actually take into the living room, or I could actually take on a trip, but has like maybe a 15-inch, maybe even a 16-inch.
If I don't have to sacrifice processing power and I get, you know, and I can do what I do, sure.
Yeah.
But I think I think most people, especially when they're out and about, you know, guys like Jeffrey and I are, I guess, not good user cases because we're doing stuff with our machines when we're traveling that are using all the CPU processor. Most people are doing a little email, a little Word, maybe some Google Docs, a spreadsheet, you know, maybe messing with their photos a little bit. You know, that's not necessarily heavy lifting. So for the average person, it probably would work.
I think the better thing would be to actually have a large monitor with the capability to do some sort of a pass-through wireless video pass-through, like maybe Apple TV hooked up to it. So you can, if it's not an Apple, but if it is an Apple, you can hook up an Apple TV so you can, so you don't have the wire to go from your iPad to your big screen. I think that would be more of a solution than it would be to make a bigger tablet. In that case.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with that too. As you think about, I mean, bringing home one slate type device and patching it into like maybe a 30-inch monitor or something like that on your desk or something like that, I can see a use case for that particular situation too. And I think that may be what I try and, you know, move towards, you know, in the future as most of our computing comes into, you know, like slate type of computer systems, or even frankly, you could even do that with your phone if the phones were capable enough. I'm just trying to think of these new kind of form factor models that maybe we might see here in the future.
You know, my wife uses this and this only. She's been on a laptop 2-3 times probably in the last 6 months. This is what she sits at the, I mean, she has her face in this thing all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, she's I'll say something and she goes, well, let me look that up. You know, so she never went to the PC before. She'd always be coming to me and asking me to look something up. So, you know, it's changed the way people are doing things. And I think the ladies love these tablets.
Definitely.
I don't use mine unless I'm on the move. You know, if I leave the house, it's with me. But other than that, it doesn't get picked. Well, maybe late in the evening or something. But usually by the time I'm ready to go to bed, I, you know, 15 seconds after my head hits the pillow, I'm zoning. I'm down, you know. So it's just not too much time in bed for me reading or watching TV. So, but some people, there's that downtime before they go to bed. So they use their tablets right at their bedside. So I know my wife does.
I have a girlfriend. When she comes over, it's like we need to have Netflix on the iPad sitting next to the bed. I personally would rather have everything turned off and completely quiet when I go to sleep. But she's got to have something to go to sleep to. So the iPad's actually a perfect answer because it can be on her side of the bed. I barely see when it's on and barely hear when it's on. So it appeases her and I doesn't really bother me too much.
That's cool. So I don't know, Rob, in these big tablets,
It's just 50, it's just something to think about.
Yeah, it is. 15 inches isn't that bad either from a size perspective.
Mm-mm. No, I don't think so either.
This 10-inch iPad is nice, except it gets heavy after a while.
It does.
And think about anything bigger than that, how heavy that will actually turn out to be.
Oh, I got a solution for that. Just got to watch my last Geek News Central show. Hey, I should mention...
Well, I think that those things are going to get thinner, too. I mean, I think that's the big trend that's happening with computing, is that these things are going to continue to get thinner.
Were you guys disappointed they didn't announce the API or the iOS hooks for Apple TV at WWDC? I was so waiting and so disappointed. That was probably my...
I think I know why they didn't do an Apple TV.
Why don't you think
they did? About this? And that is because they don't have a good sound card just yet. They have a decent sound system inside their Apple products, but they don't have anything like a Beats Audio. Once they get... Once they get a sound system inside their Apple TV, maybe something from Sony or something like that, maybe something they can purchase, then we'll start seeing Apple TVs roll out. So I just don't think they're ready yet.
Yeah, I suspected that they're not ready yet. But, Tim Cook's been making some pretty big claims here recently that they are working on some stuff that is their best products ever. And, you know, when someone says something like that, that's setting some pretty lofty expectations, you know, down the road. And I'm just, it makes me go, and we'll have to watch and see where it goes. But I have ulterior motives for wanting it to be out.
Guys, I still think it's, there's one little kind of trend here that's bubbling beneath the surface, and that's this augmented reality thing. And it, you know, Google came out with their Google goggles kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if Apple's working on something in that kind of direction, that maybe that's kind of the next big product that they're coming out with, is something to do that will work with the iPhone or something like that in an augmented reality type of way. Yeah.
Well, it
makes sense.
It does make sense. And, you think your prescription glasses are expensive now. Wait till you have to buy prescription glasses with the Apple eyewear integrated. It won't be good.
Well, so, who knows? Maybe that's your next Apple TV. It's just built into your glasses.
Yeah. I'm sure that's going to be safe for driving. Okay, let's talk about a couple other things here. To fight off airtime and Google Plus Hangouts, Facebook is testing adding video call buttons to profiles. Facebook and Skype, essentially. So some people have that on their profiles. I don't know if you guys have seen that. Little call button. And so it's... people are starting to be able to make, video calls. I guess the last thing I want is classmates I used to go to high school with call me, "Hey, dude, you want to talk?" And, it's just, that's probably one place I don't want a video call button.
But, yeah, I just really can't see video calling being that popular.
We do it with grandma, So, people that like us that live a long ways from relatives, it works out well. So, from that perspective, it's good.
Yeah, sure. I think for family, yeah. But beyond that, it's a little creepy.
Yeah.
Let me pose an idea to you guys. And this goes back to the Apple Facebook integration. What if Apple was to actually be working with Facebook to take the FaceTime application and bring it into Facebook? So instead of using Skype, they would use something like FaceTime, which is more widely used and something that you can get onto a phone.
I've never done a single FaceTime call ever.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that FaceTime is ubiquitous by any means.
I guess people use it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's consideration.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it could be done. It could be like an option. It could either be Skype or FaceTime.
Maybe I ought to freak my wife out sometime and call her iPad with FaceTime. And see what she how she reacts. I don't think she even knows that feature exists. She might, I might be giving her too much, not enough credit. Let's talk about Google a little bit. Amazon. Amazon is been cutting premium support prices. They've added a bunch of new features. You know, they have, and I get their emails 2-3 times a week of new improvements, changes, updates to their series. A lot of stuff they're doing right now. Of course, we're streaming this show at geeknewscentral.com and at live.geeknewscentral.com on Amazon CloudFront using a Flash Media Server with a secondary push going to Ustream. But, you know, they are being very aggressive. We actually had a, and I can't tell you the details of the call, but I will say that we had a call with Amazon, and they're becoming very, very aggressive and trying to gain business. And it definitely, I see it right now as, and I think the folks at GeekWire got it right. It's cloud wars, you know, with all these different groups that have cloud services out there. You know, cloud used to be was kind of like a, you know, 5-letter dirty word, you know, and everyone was kind of shunning it. But now it's like everyone is migrated. It was cloud everything, of course, at CES. So
it's so much more than just hosting now. It's actually, you know, supporting applications more. Yeah.
So do you guys think that, you know, the cloud stuff is, you know, are traditional hosting and that type of stuff going to go by the wayside? And are we going to be up in the cloud, or is, you know, there's still going to be a market for folks with dedicated servers and shared hosting accounts? Maybe the cloud hasn't gotten dumb enough, I guess, if that's the right word, or maybe smart enough is the better word. Yeah. It hasn't gotten smart enough for general consumers to use it in a lot of applications.
Yeah. Well, the cloud is, I've actually been on a cloud kind of hosting platform on a Rackspace since about 2006. Back then it was called Mosso, and I've been hosting websites and doing WordPress blogs and things like that. My wife does a lot of kind of website projects for other companies, and I've been on that platform for a long time. But it's so powerful to have that kind of a platform that scales unlimited, right? Yep. Or it can be small. I mean, it has like Windows servers, has Linux servers that you can run on the same domain name. It just is so flexible in what you can do and run applications and those kind of things. I think it is kind of where you should be if you're, you know, if you're hosting a website or you're trying to build a, you know, an application business or something like that. I just think, or really any business, because it just has all the functions that you need. It has email, it has collaboration tools kind of built into it. I mean, there's just so many powerful things. I mean, it even has billing capability built into it. So there's functionality that exists in a lot of, you know, and Rackspace is a great example that just wasn't available before in regular hosting.
One thing that, you know, I've been looking at is traditionally we've been hosting the images from Geek News Central on the Geek News Central server. And I've been looking at potentially using the cloud to migrate the images off and to a cloud server, get a little better performance, anything to help with page load speeds. So, you know, I think from that perspective, you know, from my standpoint, that's where I'm going to start using it more. Obviously, you know, hosting and that type of stuff is heavily going through Amazon because of, you know, the CloudFront and everything, and what I'm especially doing on my personal site and show. So, yeah, it's interesting to see the move and what they're really doing and adding, you know, all these new features and services. And it's just, and I wonder where we're going to be in a couple of years. I think it's going to get even. So the top level domain names, the ones that were announced, the TLDs, the GTLDs, were announced on the 13th of June. We've had some time to go. Did you guys go through this list at all of all the top level domains that were applied for?
No, I actually, you know, I haven't seen the whole list, but I definitely got the impression it was a land grab that was going on there, but it was an expensive land grab.
Yeah,
from what I could tell.
$180,000 to apply, and then you need 25 grand a year to maintain it. So let me just give you a little, a peek of view here. AAA, ARP, Acer, Airbus, Allstate, app. That was the one that was applied for the most. It'd be a land war for that one. Army, art, auto, baby, beauty, Bible, blog, BNL, book, bot, Cal, caravan, CBS, chat, clinic, club, Corsica, CPA, Del Monte, Discover, engineering. Now, I'm just going to go deeper here and get into the P's. But guess what domain is was not applied for? Got 180 grand, Rob? Media, MetLife, movie, music. Let me see here. Let me go to this exact area I want to be. Okay, let me get over here. PLM. Okay. PNC, poll, poker. No podcast. So no one applied for, I was, frankly, I was surprised. I thought someone would have put up the 180 grand and bought the .podcast domain. Now, of course, media got bought. Someone applied. How many people applied for media? Three people did. Two cows did, Grand Glen LLC and Uniregistry. So those three companies will be battling it out for the that media domain. Do you think this is just going to cause mass confusion? You know, I already have a hard enough time remembering domain names, and usually you can get it right with .com. But, you know, am I going to have to remember, you know, something YouTube or something, you know, Omega or Olympus or pictures?
I don't think so, Todd. I think what I've been a little baffled. It's like, you know, if you're from the old school of the .com days, you learn very quickly that .com rules and going beyond that just doesn't make any sense. But I guess if you start thinking about things differently, how people are getting to things on the web now, it's typically not by typing anything into the address bar anymore.
I'm used to the autocomplete.
It's links, right? It's links from search engines. It's links that are in apps. It's links that are, you know, in a variety of places. Now, granted, I do type in things, but I just think, I mean, if that's what they think is going on here, that people are going to type these things into a address bar, I think they're crazy. It's not going to happen. People just aren't going to think like this. And it's going to be a long time. So there must be some other aspect of this that we're not thinking, that they're thinking, of why they would value these things so much. I mean, it doesn't logically make sense from a traditional way of thinking about how you browse for information on the web.
I think they're counting on that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I search. I think they're counting on search. I'll be honest. I only search for, I don't search for sites because I know the sites I want to go to. And maybe I think people have 20, 25 sites that they go to. What do we do? We go to Facebook. We go to TechMeme. We go to blueberry.com. We go to geekcentral.com.
Twitter.
You're going to type in the first few letters of a domain name, and it's already going to be there because you've been there a lot. So, yeah.
Or is this another way to, I don't know, have the web categorized? I'm not quite sure. I mean, I think it could be a shortcut way to categorize content on the web.
Right.
I think that there's going to be definite usage for some companies. Like, for instance, Google. They picked up like 10 different top level domains, one of them being .youtube. So I have a feeling that we'll start seeing our own, like, for instance, instead of going to youtube.com/geekazine, you'd go to geekazine.youtube and get to the same thing. You'll be able to go no matter which way you decide to go, but it'll still be there. What I'm more concerned about is some of these companies that are paying because this is not $180,000 and you got your top level domain. It's $180,000 a year. And so those prices can go up. So let's say, I don't know, I'm looking at this list. Let's say Esurance decides to sell out some of the top level domains and you decide to buy some really cool domain, .esurance, and you're ripping it up with a website. And next thing you know, they're not paying their $180,000. And then that ICANN decides to take down the top-level domain.
Well, once
what are you going to do?
Once it's up, ICANN will come back in and grab it if they need to. if a company goes out of business. That's happened before. Now, what they do is they go back to a big domain level registry and sell it to them. I want to show you guys something that I'm concerned about. This is my big concern, and this is my GoDaddy control panel. And there's a number here on the side. It says 218 domains. And, you know, I let domains go and expire all the time because I'm, you know, stuff that I've bought that I say, okay, I've speculated on and they're not, you know, I haven't sold them or haven't turned them into a, let me switch back here, haven't switched them into a site or they're not forwarding. How many domains am I going to have to buy now to protect my business? And some of these I'm sure are not going to be cheap. You know, if you look at what they've done here, and it depends on if they actually put actual registries up to sell these domains. You know, let's just look at one category. If I was, okay, for media, I'm going to have to buy the .media. I have no choice to not buy that domain.
But Todd, why though? I mean, I don't think it's clear that we have an understanding of why it's important for any of us to own any of those.
Why do I own .biz, .org, .us, why do I own, you know, all those other subdomains for my domain? You know, you type in geeknewscentral.org, guess where it goes? It goes to geeknewscentral.com. No one types it, but last thing I want is a squatter putting geeknewscentral.com up and putting some content there. You know, yeah. Obviously I don't go looking for .org sites, but I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of confusion on this.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I'm not sure it's clear what the value is of owning any of those.
.live, .llc, .legal, .law.
I think the bigger thing would just be to trademark your name. So if somebody did come up with
geeknewscentral.mcdonalds,
then you could actually sue them and take them down.
.inc.
Yeah.
.hotel, .home, .hilton, .guitars. You know, you think about the usage of those in owning those top, you know, it's, yeah. You know, go to yeah. .guitar, you know, go to .epson or so, you know, it's going to be, but what's weird is, do I want to type .microsoft? Because Microsoft applied for that one. Do I want to? Why would I want to type in that long domain name? It's, you're not. You're going to find that in the search. You're going to get there via a search engine. So I don't know. I think there's going to be, it'll be interesting to watch over the next year and a half, 2 years as this rolls out. And I actually reached out to the folks at GoDaddy and I was trying to get them to comment on how they thought this was going to play out. Because what's going to happen is as these companies get these domain names and if they want to monetize them, they're going to have to go through either set up their own registry and sell them directly, or two, they're going to have to go through somebody like GoDaddy and say, you're authorized to resell our domains. Because if you go to their website now, you know, it's just huge numbers. They've got this huge inventory of dot somethings. And that they're always, you know, basically suggesting if you, you know, let me look at the list they have. .com, .co, .info, .net, .me, .org, .mobi, .us, .biz, .xxx, .ca, .mx, .tv, .wsag, and then a whole bunch of .am, .asia, .at, .be, .tv, and it just goes on and on and on. So you already can buy, let's see here, there's how many is there, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, let me hit the down button, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You can already buy 80 top level domains from them. You know, that's okay. And I'm really sure that .org.in is a real popular domain.
Yeah.
I'm sure .vg, and of course, if you want to buy, now I will say that I bought a domain the other day that I had to buy from a different site. Where I'm trying to, I'll be announced in a couple of weeks, but I bought a very short domain with an obscure dot domain name, dot extension. and I'm going to be trying some experiments with it. But, you know, I paid $50 for that bad boy. And, you know, $50 a year is a lot of money for a domain name. So, well, we'll see. We'll see where this goes as we move down the road. So what else have I got in my stack here today? We released PowerPress 4.0.1. That's on the street for those of you that use it. And has anybody played with the Facebook plugin for WordPress?
No, I haven't yet, but I've been hearing about it. I'm most definitely going to add it at some point here.
Jeffrey is...
I don't know. That's going to change my currently have.
You know, the problem that I've run into is it's got a whole bunch of issues. It's not... It's definitely a 1.0 release, and they're going to have...
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And
currently,
if you're a PowerPress user, you don't want to use it. It removes the media player on the post page. So there's something going on there. And I've been told, Angelo told me to just let him add it. He's going to see what he can do to work with Facebook to get it fixed. And
hey, I got a question for you, Todd.
Sure.
On geeknewscentral.com, you don't have the Google Plus icon. Yeah, I think all you have is maybe tweet and recommend from Facebook.
The problem is there's not enough, you know, I start running into page configuration issues. When I start adding, none of this stuff wants to play nice together. There's not one plugin that does everything. You know, so if I have the tweet button, and see, here's up at the top, I've got title, posted by, and then I add the information for Facebook, add the info for tweet. There's no room to put if I put a Google Plus button on there, they don't work nice together. Do you have a different plugin you're using where you can do all in one?
Well, I have a little different space, so I can actually put the plugins on one side. So it works a little bit better for me, but there are some plugins that put them on the bottom and on the top anymore.
Yeah,
I've seen that too. I've got that on mine too.
I just haven't had. And when I've used those other ones, when they're those little small icons, I just haven't been getting utilization out of them. So I'm looking at your site, Jeffrey. Let's bring your site up here. And let me click on one. You put it right at the bottom. You've got all this stuff in below it. And let me look at an actual post.
And I'm running blind. I can't see this. For some reason, my video on Skype is completely dead.
So
I can't see what you're seeing.
You put your stuff at the bottom.
Yeah, same thing I'm seeing too. I'm not seeing your video anymore.
So not seeing who's my video?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's odd. What happened?
I don't know. Then I got disconnected and I came back in and still couldn't see video.
Huh. Yes, I'm looking at your page and I see where you put it. You put it at the bottom. I had it on there.
Yes, and the cool thing about that is I have two views on that. You have the regular cube view, and then I can actually switch it to blog view. And when you switch it to blog view, I get more options. The only three options I choose are Google+, Facebook, and Twitter on the regular view. But if you go into blog view, you'll see StumbleUpon, you'll see not dig anymore.
Yeah, you've got
some other options.
Yeah, you've got a separate column there with all that info. Yeah. And my site's going to have a redesign if I want to do something differently. It's just that's the challenge right now. And you also, some of those plugins, you know, you look at some of those things and they just don't load very quick. And I'm dealing with a lot of traffic at Geek News Central, and I'm trying to keep I had to reduce the number of stuff that was on the front page. And I'm really trying to be cognizant because Google is punishing people that are having slow page loads right now. And so I'm just trying to keep the page speed up as much as possible. And you start adding all those little JavaScript widgets and it just slows everything down to a crawl.
Yeah.
All right. Let me look here. Talked about that. And we talked about this. I think I'm at the end. What did you guys see this past week? Anything specific that tweaked your interest?
It's going to be a pretty interesting week next week, I think.
Are you relating to the 18th announcement by Microsoft?
Well, I think that's one piece of the pie. I think it's really interesting. It's kind of a big mystery about what's going on there. The invites to the press and the media only came out like midweek last week, so there wasn't a lot of notice.
Yeah. So are you in the dark as well, or are you under NDA?
Yeah. No, there's a, you know, this clearly is a new kind of approach that the company is starting to take in things like this to be a little bit more secretive about things. And there's not a lot of sharing on some of this stuff, you know, across the company. So it's, you know, it's going to be news to me too.
Oh,
you can't get us press tickets.
No.
Well, that's an interesting comment there, Rob. Why is your thing? I don't know why I'm. Oh, I know what I did wrong. So, Rob, any speculation?
I, you know, there's lots of directions that it could go, and I'm not really sure. I mean, it could be a couple of different things that I can think of, but I'm not for sure. That's for sure.
There's some speculation that it's going to be a whole new operating system.
Well, I would highly doubt that.
Well, maybe a version thereof?
I would highly doubt that.
Oh, that's interesting. You don't think that they could have kept something like that secret long enough?
I just don't think that they're working on anything like that. I think it's a service, or it's a hardware thing, or something like that is what was going to be, or some sort of merger, or some sort of, you know, it's hard to know for sure. I wish that I did know. I think it would be interesting to know, but they're taking a different approach with this. They're trying to do an Apple thing, I think.
Well, the speculation.
I might have heard an inside source saying that there was a 15-inch tablet coming out.
Yeah, there you go.
There was a speculation that it was going to be a tablet to compete with Apple. That was the speculation that's been on all the blogs. And, of course, everyone's got the inside scoop, right? I'm sure.
That's right, everybody. Those,
and they always get all the rumors right.
Yeah, right. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see whose rumor turns out to be correct with this this announcement next week.
And what's funny is they're not, believe it, they didn't get that much press on it. So people are kind of like, oh, well, they're making an announcement. You know, they didn't get the hype factor. You know, when Apple says that we're going to have a meeting next week, you know, the bloggers just go, you know, let's be honest. They go ape shit crazy. You know?
Yeah, they do, because it's like it sparks all this speculation. And I think that the real kind of stuff is that the speculation could go so far different than what they're planning on announcing that it could be disappointing.
So Microsoft, and I think Apple, I truly believe Apple now is just leaking. I think they purposely leak tidbits. You know, they'll leak 25 things, and of those 25 things, you know, five of them are really on the spot. You know, they don't tell very much. They just give someone a little tidbit. You know, so Microsoft has got to learn to figure out how to leak strategically. and then I really think there is something in the Apple ecosphere that does that. You know, I be honest with you, I think what they do is they say, here's what we're going to announce. But you better not write it up like we're announcing it. You need to come up with your speculations and write around this topic. But here's what it is. And, you know, but if you say what it really is, you're going to be cut off, buddy. You know, I think that's what they do. I think they manipulate the bloggers. I just can't believe that they don't.
Well, and also I do think that the company learns a lot from this type of practice too, because it really points to where the tech journalists and the pundits are thinking, right? They speculate on things that that maybe they would like to see more than what is reality.
Yep.
And I think it can tell the company, you know, are they on the right track with these ideas, or Or is there some idea that they hadn't even thought of that the tech community is thinking that Microsoft should be doing? Now, granted, the typical scenarios that these things have such long lead times that just because the tech community is speculating about something doesn't necessarily mean that it could be something that Microsoft goes out and does like in the next 2 weeks. It just doesn't
Microsoft
work that
can't
way.
Do anything in 2 weeks, Rob.
Well, I mean, it's not just Microsoft. It's any tech company. It's Apple, or it could be any. A lot of these companies have their plans for what they build and what they create. Could be as far ahead as a year.
True.
Before it actually launches. So, So sure, all this speculation about Apple TV and about things going on with Xbox or Windows Phone or Windows 8 or whatever. The things that are typically rolled out are things that have been planned for years. Now, granted, some of the details can be tweaked leading up to it, but even those tweaks even have lead times to them too. So I think that the real danger is that the speculation goes so far, off to the side of what their real announcement is, that's the danger of them not sharing a little bit of information about what the context of the announcement is beforehand, that then the press gets kind of off in this other tangent that is so different than what the announcement's going to be that it's going to be like, okay, that's a disappointment,
Well, here's the leak of the day. This is trending right now on TechMeme. Xbox 720 document leak reveals $299 console with Kinect 2 for 2013. Kinect glasses as well. So this is the someone got some nice slides. I wonder how.
Yeah, I haven't actually looked at this. Is it?
Yeah, this just popped. So anyway, it says while it's clear Microsoft isn't planning to do the next generation Xbox this year, all signs indicate 2013 launch is in the cards. A newly leaked 56-page document sheds some lights on the company's plans. Wow. I'm sure that someone's going to get pissed. It's a 56-page internal document. And see, it's loose lips sink ships, Rob, and here we go. We've got to show you this. Let me see if I can zoom on this. This is really important for the audience that's watching. And we're going to have a little laugh on this. I think Rob knows what I'm going to talk about. Okay, I want to show you right. You guys can't. Oh, that's right. You guys can't see the video. They're showing
I'm watching the site. Yeah. So.
They're showing a.
Yeah, I'm watching the stream.
Let me blow that up even more. So I'm sorry, those of you watching the video here. There we go. That's what I want to do. 400%. And it shows ESPN, CBS, Sky, ABC, Atari, TNT, Twitter, Last.fm, Nix, Xbox. Oh, what's this little icon? Zune. Obviously, yeah. That document had not been updated.
Guys, all I can say is this. I wouldn't believe much of this.
Like I said, I'm saying the document wasn't updated from E3 when they basically killed Zune.
Well, yeah. All right. This is actually pretty sorry stuff here, I have to say. So,
but anyway, I'm just I'm having a little fun here because I noticed that little icon. Oh, there's the Zune. There's the Zune
logo.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
All right, guys. Yeah. With that, should we have the bagpipe guy come out?
That's a bagpipe.
I should have prepped it.
Todd, you put me in a tough spot on that one.
I should have had a little audio thing playing the bagpipe sounds that they play at funerals,
Yeah, exactly.
Well, for those of you go ahead, Rob, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, this, I don't know, this just doesn't look that compelling. Sorry.
The Xbox 720 doesn't look that compelling?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, no. Plausible deniability. I love it. I love it. It's just like, this, yeah, this is nothing. This isn't right. This is all wrong. It's not going to have smart glasses or Metro dashboard. This is just a fake dock. Someone spent hours and hours and hours and hours putting together a 56-page document that we're just going to leak to the internet about the Xbox 720. Yeah, that's perfect planning.
Guys, this just doesn't look like the quality that Microsoft would actually put out.
Oh my goodness. Let me show you this one here then. Okay, let's look at some storyboards. Who does storyboards? Big companies do storyboards,
they do storyboards. You
know,
you're
big
right.
Companies do, they have these guys that sit around with and do little drawings. You know, the dude that gets paid to do these drawings. Oh my God, it's just ridiculous. So storyboards, this is what's going to happen.
It's called scenarios. Is what it's actually called.
It's called scenarios.
Scenarios, user scenarios.
Oh, this is stuff funny. And I was actually didn't even bring it up. Here's the scenarios. Let me bring up. So, you know, just some dude spent lots of time doing a 56-page document and actually put in the storyboards or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah, he needs to update that one storyboard. So,
though, Todd, it's live on Xbox right now. Okay, so you have to walk carefully on that one.
All right, I will. So, you know, I guess my article was talking about Microsoft. You saw my second article on Microsoft in podcasting, right?
Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. I wrote another one.
You did?
Yes, I did. I wrote
so
one.
So how did I miss that one?
Here it is. Whoops, let me bring it up. And I use some charts on this one to prove how much they don't love podcasting.
Scenarios, huh?
Yeah. So here, Microsoft does not care about podcasting. And here's my little chart. And I put some charts in there to prove. You know, what you had to do, Rob, is you need to show your boss this.
I have a feeling Rob's going to get an email on Monday morning saying you can't be part of the morning tech show anymore.
Email your boss this and say, well, we're doing okay with IE, but iTunes, iPhone, iPad, IE, Chrome, Firefox, Android, Zune, Windows, Media Player.
Oh, I missed this one.
Yeah, you did. Yes. You sure did. So,
well, I can safely tell you that my bosses don't watch this show.
Oh, that's good. You can send them the link to this article then. So what I'll do is I'll make sure that I put your picture right on the front of the video graphic today. He's like,
source, right?
Yeah. No, would never do that. All right, guys. Hey, for those of you that are listening to our banter here, don't forget, if you get over to geeknewscentral.com, there is the Saturday Morning Tech Show, the Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants with Langley, the Chrome Show. And yes, I did a Chrome Show finally, did another episode. I'm going to do another one today. Matter of fact, immediately following this show, I'm going to record one. But thanks for hanging out. If you have comments on today's show, you know, the email is pretty standard for me here, geeknews@gmail.com. We're going to, while I'm in Hawaii, we're going to be doing these now. Next weekend, I think I'm going to be here Saturday morning. I have to leave Saturday night. I can't believe it. I thought I was going to be home for like a month, and I have to go to Austin next week, well, week after next. So, God, I'm just, you know, you guys know I'm already over 100,000 freaking flyer miles for the year. Wow. This is June 16th. I'm normally like October, November, getting worried that I'm not going to break 100K, and I'm at 100. I'm already over 100K. It's just, my wife is like, are you going to spend any time home? This summer is going to be insane. I got to try to figure out how to do the Saturday Morning Tech Show with the new studio. I think I know how to do it now. If we have enough bandwidth, we can make it happen. But with a portable studio, that is. And Jeffrey, I got my green screen. So I got my green screen. So I do my green screen on the road if everything works out good. Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm going to be testing it here this weekend, see how well Wirecast keys up a green screen. If you get any tips, send me an email because I'm clueless on how to do that with that system.
Well, the biggest problem will be lighting. I mean, You don't know your room.
I'm so used to TriCaster keying on anything. Is Wirecast more picky?
No. Well, it's not as high key as Wirecast. As TriCaster.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's pretty good. But once again, you just run into a whole bunch of problems. I mean, when I was out at South by Southwest, they had this one booth set up where they could do a green screen. It was for the New York Academy of Film or something like that. And their green screen wasn't all that great because, you know, they had to set it up in a different situation where colors change, lights change all during the day. So I don't know. I mean, I wish you the best on that.
Yeah, we'll see how it works. I will find out one way or the other. I'm pretty spoiled because I can key the TriCaster in a heartbeat and it'll key with no lights, you know. So it's pretty forgiving, but we're dealing with software versus a, you know, box that's designed to do that. Let's see here. I guess Rob, anything going on with you in the next week? Anything you want to point out?
No, I don't really have anything big going on here over the next week or so. No.
Jeffrey, no. How about you?
I'm going to take some time off and just relax a little bit.
That's
start up NMX TV. It's the New Media Expo TV show that I've been doing. We'll start it up again next week. Of course, iPad 365. I took a couple weeks off. I did only like two or three episodes, so I'm going to probably have to hit the horse really hard on that one. So
yeah, you're gonna have to get caught up. You have to record 25 episodes in a row. That's the way to do that show, is to record a whole bunch of episodes. And Jeffrey, if you guys want to hang out for a second after I shut the recording off, we'll talk. But everyone else, hey, thanks for hanging. Thanks for being here today at Saturday Morning Tech. I know we've been kind of all over the place, and it's been a while since we did one. So glad you hung with us. Post-show will be, we're going to kind of chat here for a few minutes after the show. Other than that, we're going to shut the recorders down, and we'll see you next Saturday here at Saturday Morning Tech. Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming out.